Good evening, brethren. Good morning. Somewhere in the world, it's morning. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign? Lyrics from a popular song from the 1990s called Sign, by the music group Five Man Electric Group. The interesting thing about this song is that it highly reflects my attitude of my youth, of how I felt about God's law and the Sabbath. A lot of times about the Sabbath, right? You could do this, you could do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. Can't go out, play sports. Can't go out to the comic shop, buy my comics, hang out with my best friend. Just a lot of do's and don'ts. It's no wonder why some people would try to find loopholes to try to beat the Sabbath conundrum. But there's nothing worse than trying to use Scripture to debunk Scripture. Unfortunately, this area is often called the gray area, and I'm going to make it perfectly clear, there is no such thing when it comes to God as the gray area. Sorry, Scott. In reflection to his sermon way back about the ox in the ditch, he used the term gray area a lot. I have a tendency to use a different term. What could that term be? Some of the wheels are turning. Some people are thinking, could it be the intent of the law as opposed to the letter of the law? In my time, I've heard many sermons that talked about the difference between the intent of the law and the letter of the law. The problem is that people have the tendency to use the intent of the law to justify breaking God's law, when in reality, the intent of God's law should teach us how to better keep God's law. Today, we are going to look at some key instructions that give us some help in navigating this Sabbath conundrum and how to better observe God's Sabbath. And starting on your piece of paper, I'd like you to draw a square. It doesn't have to be huge, but you don't want it too small. In the center of that square, I want you to put a dot. That dot represents you. Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. This is the law that God gives us pertaining to the Sabbath. Starting, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So on the first part of that square at the top, you're going to write, Sabbath, keep holy. What does it mean to keep holy? The Hebrew words translate holy, kadash. And its derivatives carry the meaning of set apart or sanctify. This day is set apart from all the other days, and it has a special meaning and a special purpose. The Greek words translate holy as hagios, and its derivatives imply an absence of fault and impurity. It is a day that we separate ourselves from the rest of the days, from doing what we want to do to doing what God wants to do. It's a day of rest. It's a day that we adopt the flawless code of conduct set forth by God, observing in it the ways of the Bible instructs us to, which sets it apart from all the other days, because all the other days we are doing what we want to do. Our focus is on what our needs are and what we want to do. In chapter 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 6 days that focus on us. And yet there is one day in which God has us focus on Him. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath and of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. So at the bottom of that square, you're going to put Sabbath, no work. Distinguishing that there is a difference between the Sabbath and the rest of the week. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger in your gates, do any work on those days. For the 6 days that the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all of them, and rested on the seventh day, therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. There are going to be two additional areas that we're going to look at, which are going to help us to understand the nuances on how to navigate the Sabbath day. And those two categories are going to fall under what God wants and lawful to do good. So let's look at what God wants. That's what you're going to put on the left-hand side of that square. That could be found in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 through 14. So you want to mark that scripture off in that space as well. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, referring to God, not doing your own ways, sustaining from work, nor finding your own pleasures, whether it's playing a video game, whether it's going to an amusement park, or whether it's entertaining yourself with your friends by playing sports, nor speaking your own words, where we focus on the word of God. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. You remember that Greek word we talked about just a minute ago that translates to absence of fault and impurity? It could be summed up in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Let me read it to you. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now more in the absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as the light unto the world. You know, God tells us that we should not conform to this world, but we should be transformed in the renewing of our minds that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, it takes studying. It takes our diligence to build that relationship to God, to understand his will. And when we understand that will, we have a better understanding how to keep God's Sabbath. Whether we realize it or not, what is important to God is us, our development, our relationship with him, with our elder brother, Jesus Christ, and to one another. Which leads to the next category. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? So on the other side of the page, you're going to put lawful to do good of that box. Matthew chapter 12, verses 11 through 12, I'm going to read it. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep? And if that falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not lay hold of it and lift it out? Oh, how much more value then are you to a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. So now we have two additional keys besides Exodus 20 to better keep the Sabbath. One, understanding the will of God, and two, doing good on the Sabbath. And this could be best illustrated by the parable of the Good Samaritan. So let's go there. Chapter Luke, verses 10. verses 30 through 31. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 31. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounding him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." That speaks volumes to humanity in general. Typical human behavior is this: if you see something that makes you uncomfortable, you're going to walk around it. You're going to go in the opposite direction. Of course, with today's modern generation, they're also going to take out their cell phone and videotape it and put it on YouTube. Verse 32, "Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed on by on the other side." Now we have two different individuals that had passed on. This individual that was in need. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay it.'" You know, some people will have the attitude that, well, oh, somebody got hurt, I got to get the services. I don't have time to help this person over here. It's always interesting when people talk about the scripture, they always ask, well, what day did that take place? Because nobody gets it. This is the attitude that we're supposed to have 24/7 towards one another and towards everybody else. "If you are to do good on the Sabbath, then this parable is a great example to emulate." Yes, the parable is about having brotherly love for one another and exploring that concept of loving a brother as ourself. But would you refuse helping somebody out on the Sabbath because you have this concept that you're not allowed to on the Sabbath? Well, for that fact, Jesus healing on the Sabbath just reaffirms this. If you look at Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13, he tells us that he was teaching in a synagogue, and behold, a woman that was bent down in her infirmity for 18 years. He called her to him, and he healed her. Now, there are people around him that thought that he was breaking the law. How about visiting widows? James chapter 1, verses 27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." I have a friend that has an incredible job working in the high-tech industry, and he gets stressed out like crazy. And sometimes he likes to take the Sabbath, take his family away from everything, just to recharge. But I was looking at him, and I was looking at where he lives, and I thought, wow, you know, there's some shut-ins that live in that area that never have the opportunity to go outside of the house and observe the Sabbath. Not that they can't walk or can't move, but they live in an area where they don't have transportation. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be an incredible blessing on a Sabbath to take one of those shut-ins with you? Go somewhere. Spend the Sabbath that they have a special Sabbath. You see, that would be the will of God. That would be doing good on the Sabbath. And as far as visiting widows, I remember in my youth, at least twice a year, we would literally go out as a youth group to convalescent homes, in which we would literally spend time with elderly. We would do potlucks We would share food, break bread, and the youth would provide the entertainment for the elderly. And then we'd sit around and have hours of conversation with these individuals who would come alive because of this. No, God tells us in Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40, he says, "The king will say to those who on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger to you, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, insomuch as you did this and did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" You ever thought about taking the time and coming across a homeless person and buying them a meal on the Sabbath? There's a lot of people that think that you can't spend money on the Sabbath, and they'll quote, you know, the Ten Commandments. But when it talks about not doing work, that's not talking about not spending money. That's talking about not doing any work. There are appropriate times for us to do things. You know, God tells us there's time to laugh, time to cry, time to joke, time to have fun. And, you know, people look down on the disciples because on the Sabbath they would pick food, fruit from trees. And we could read about that in Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to verses 25. He tells us, "Now it happened that it went through the grain field on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?'" Who said it wasn't lawful to do this on the Sabbath? "But he said to them, 'Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him? Would it be inappropriate to spend some money to feed somebody on the Sabbath?'" I'm going to look at two different scriptures when it comes to money, because they are the only two that I know of that actually specifically deals with the topic on the Sabbath. The first is found in Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 31. And we could read it. It says, if it's talking about basically referring to those who had separated themselves from the people of the land to the law of God, everyone who had knowledge and understanding to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses to the servants of God. And this is what they were teaching and what they were doing. If the people of the land brought wares or any grains to sell on the Sabbath day, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or on the holy day. Or we would forgo the seventh year produce and the exacting of every debt. The scripture I look at is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. Here we're commanded to take our tithe and spend it those 7 days. Somewhere in those 7 days there is a Sabbath in which you're commanded to spend your money on whatever your heart's content. So what's the difference between that and Nehemiah? Well, if we're looking at our box and the environment in which we're supposed to grow and flourish when it comes to keeping the Sabbath, you see, one is pertaining to protecting oneself from falling into sin, from going back into the world and doing what the world wants, which is shopping on the Sabbath, doing my thing on the Sabbath. Whereas when we're looking at the Feast of Tabernacles, one, it falls under the category of God's will, and who are we to defy God's will? Second of all, it falls in the category of doing good to others, How many people have spent money on their brothers on a Sabbath dinner because that brother wasn't able to have enough money to feed themselves on the feast? What about giving gifts to one another on the feast? You know, these are all things that we do to make God's day special. It's God's way for us to show love for one another and to express love towards God. In ending, many religious people treat the Sabbath like any other day, running their errands, shopping, entertainment, playing sports. They can't go to church any day. I mean, literally, they can go to church any day of the week that they want to, because pretty much there isn't a religion out there that they don't have a church services at some day or some time. That they could spend their 15 to 30 minutes getting their spiritual juice that really leads to nothing. They focus on what they want. That's why they go and do the things that they do when it comes to the days that they worship. It's not about God. It's not honoring His will, His wisdom, and His love. They're choosing what day they want to worship, and we need to distinguish ourselves from that, and we do that through the Sabbath. From any other day of the week, when God called you, He sanctified you. The Sabbath, simply put, is a day to be a God-centered day, doing what God wants. A day of rest for us from the cares of this world and from our work. It's an opportunity where we get to develop ourselves and what God wants us to. Individually, with His desires to build His character in us. A day which we focus on what's important to God, that would be us, right? We're the creation. We're what God wants us to develop. And we have the opportunity to be here to receive that special instruction. We come together and receive special instruction on what God wants us to learn. Above all, we have the opportunity to do good. If we stay within the perimeters, which a lot of times we refer to as the gray area, and keeping the Sabbath holy, resting from our work, focusing on God's will, and using the opportunity to do good, then you will have a proper understanding of keeping God's Sabbath.
Thank you, Mr. Boyington.